Hello and welcome. Connie Reagan Green here with another call in the podcast series. This is Online Marketing Tips. I have been doing this podcast for 3 years. Has it been 3 years? Yes, next month will make 3 years. Hard to believe. So thank you so much if you're joining me live. If not, you're over on iTunes listening to the podcast replay, or you are on ConnieReaganGreen.com listening to it there through my PodPress plugin right within the blog post. So three different ways to listen, one live, two in replay, and all of them so important to the process, and we're going to talk about every bit of that. So I am bringing back something that I haven't done since the end of 2013, which shocked me. I didn't realize it had been so long. So almost 2 years since I've done a study guide. So if you see the link right there, you can click on it. If not, I want you to go to connieloves.me/, and this is all lowercase, study guides, so plural, connieloves.me/study guides. And I left this page intact, so the ones that ended in August of 2013 are still there. So between January and August, I did 9 of these calls, and they have the study guide, and then I left a space so I can start it for 2015 and into 2016. Now, the reason that I've started doing it again is because I was reminded that there are more podcasts than ever that are out there, and I was reminded by Seth Godin, none other than Seth Godin. And in the study guide, I have a link to that post called The Coming Podcast Surplus. And he says, as of now, there are more minutes produced by the podcast I listen to each day than there is time to listen to them. So even though I strongly encourage everyone to have a blog, a book, and broadcast, which includes a podcast and YouTube channel and anything else like Blab or Periscope or anything. I was on a very exciting Blab live stream on Saturday night with Joel Kahn and a couple of other people. Lots and lots of fun. So even though I encourage you to do this, what I want you to do is a study guide for your podcast, because even though I try to keep these calls at about 30 to 45 minutes maximum, that's too much time for everyone to be listening to every time I do it. Instead, by giving people the study guide, and I'm looking at my study guide right now, and it is a page and a half, barely a page and a half, people can print this out or save it on their hard drive or in their Dropbox file. They can read through this in less than 10 minutes and get the information that they need. So I want you to see what I'm doing, and I did this one really from scratch. I took one of the old ones and just kind of reformatted it, so that would have taken me 5 minutes, and then I wrote it again, and I really spent about 15 minutes because I wanted to say what I was going to talk about today. Also, because I encourage you to turn your podcast into a blog post to send it over to iTunes, this way I know what I talked about. So let's take a closer look at the study guide. I have the title of my podcast, which is Online Marketing Tips with Connie Reagan Green. I'm calling this the study guide for November 2015 because I will not be doing another one of these podcasts until December of 2015. Building your online business, marketing tips that make sense. I talk about being an online entrepreneur and that you have to have a plan with a capital P to get closer to where you want to be. So how do you achieve this? Spend 20 minutes every day reading a book that will enrich, educate, and enlighten you on your path to successful entrepreneurship. The reason I say this is that most of us do not have a solid business background. I was a classroom teacher, and I also had a real estate business, but I was not an entrepreneur. I was a small business owner, and there is a distinction. As a real estate broker slash residential appraiser, I really followed the rules and regulations that were set forth by my state of California, and also the federal government, and I was assigned work in terms of appraisal by banks, mortgage lenders, different groups and people, probate attorneys, CPAs, and people who were real estate investors. So they told me what they needed, and then I did it according to the guidelines, the rules and regulations. So there wasn't anything creative. If you're creative in real estate, you may be in trouble soon. So you don't want to do that. So also, I was in an MBA program. I was in an MBA program for a year at San Francisco State University. I realized then that I did not want to go into the corporate world. It wasn't going to be a good fit for my personality, mainly because of the hours involved. I knew that was a lifelong commitment to longer hours than I wanted to work on a regular basis. So I started doing real estate and then started teaching, only to find out that because I couldn't earn the money I needed to earn, I was working just as many days and hours as if I had gone into the corporate world. But the point is with all this is that I didn't have a business background. I really didn't. So when I came online, and it's getting closer and closer, just in a few weeks, it'll be 10 years since I first actually started my online business, I gave up reading fiction that I used to do for fun and enjoyment and started reading nonfiction business books. So I'm recommending that you spend 20 minutes a day reading a book that falls into that category, and there are hundreds and hundreds of excellent books. Number two, become a regular publisher of content. So that's the book, blog, broadcast theory that I teach, a trifecta of entrepreneurial success. The strategy works. The time you spend regularly creating content will pay off for years to come, as it has for me, blog posts and articles and things that I did back in 2006, 2007, 2008, are still helping me to be known for a variety of things online. The third thing I want to talk about is asking yourself every day, is what I'm doing right now moving me closer to my goals or further away? So right now, I'm teaching on a podcast. I'm creating content at the speed of sound. I'm interacting with those of you who are here live or who came earlier and gave me a question, which I'm going to go back over here right now and open up these questions. So thank you so much for doing that. I'm going to go over those questions. What you are doing is listening to some online marketing tips, which should be very helpful for you, and we are respecting each other's time by keeping these calls to 30 to 45 minutes maximum. So you can do the same thing, but ask yourself always, you know, these things that you're doing, are you doing them for fun, family time, enjoyment, or is it helping your business? All right, number four is the 10,000 hours concept. How quickly can you achieve excellence? And I want to talk about this a little bit, but first let's go over to some questions. So Dave is here from Ontario, Canada, and I did take a look at your site, Dave. Dave says, thank you for all the great marketing advice you provide. My websites are a work in progress, having just recently been established. That's very exciting. I am primarily a catalog writer in the high-end auction space, and I have two tightly focused WordPress sites. So we're going to look at one of those. The one that I have up is classicauctionnews.com, covering classic car auctions and events. So I just came back from Las Vegas, and I see someone on the line here, Adrienne Dupree. She is still in Las Vegas. There was a big show for people selling physical products on Amazon and Shopify and other platforms. That was the reason for the visit. And while we were there, the largest auto show in the United States, called SEMA, S-E-M-A, was there. I had never heard of SEMA, and I love classic cars. I've had three Corvettes over my lifetime. I had a 66 Mustang Fastback and a Camaro. What else? A Malibu. Oh, I love the Malibu. That Chevy Malibu was a fantastic car. I think it had a 327 in it, I want to say. I come from the days of cheap gasoline and four-barrel carburetors, so we had eight cylinders. When I switched to four cylinders, I thought I was going to die, but I survived. So you're in a fantastic niche. I can tell you that the room rates were higher than I had ever remembered them being in any recent history in Las Vegas, unless you're talking about CES, which is the Consumer Electronics Show, or NAB, which is the National Association of Broadcasters. Other than that, the room rates are never so high, and I can't even guess at how many thousands of people were at that show at the Las Vegas Convention Center. So, with that said, I'm going to read the rest of what you said. You said that your plan is to take your main site to generate clients for your take your car to auction part of your business. and that you want to provide advice and guidance to classic car owners, collectors, and estate representatives to sell classic cars at the right locations and auction companies for their specific needs, since you have direct relationships with the staff at a number of top auction companies. And I know people who have purchased cars at auction. I know someone that has a BMW. I don't know which model it is. It's several years old. He bought it at auction very, very inexpensively and has been thrilled with it. So that's something that I do know a little bit about. And you said that my advice to you has been and continues to be invaluable. Thank you so much, Dave. I'm working on a brief but highly useful lead magnet, but really need help in setting up the lead funnel. I want to do this as quickly and cost-effectively as possible. And you go on with some other information, but let's just really address what you are talking about. So thanks again for your detailed question and all of the information that you're sharing. So what we want to ask ourselves, because you always want to build a list, no matter what business you're doing, even selling physical products, you really do want to build a list of people who are coming to you as their trusted advisor. So on classicauctionnews.com, it says classic cars, aircraft, and collectibles for sale. I'm wondering if aircraft should be a separate site, or perhaps it's okay as a little section of this site. But what type of giveaway would people gladly exchange their first name and primary email address for? Maybe something on something that's timely. So for 2016, what are the top 10 makes and models of vehicles that they should look for if they want to be a collector, if they're looking to buy or to buy and fix up and sell? And maybe you would have details and lots of pictures and information right in there. I'm thinking that could be something very good. Then in terms of a lead magnet, I would say the next thing you want people to do is to let you know, do they want to buy a classic car and fix it up and have it for themselves? Do they have a car they want to sell? Do they want to go to auction? What is it they want to do? And have them fill out a form. It's real easy to get a plug-in that will allow people to fill out a form on your site and let you know what it is they want to do next. So for me, if I were to opt in, I'd be real excited to see what cars were going to be the hot cars to collect in 2016. And I would just want more information on maybe where I could get parts. I'm a Corvette person. So that's the car that I would buy to fix up. And I would want to know what are the places that sell aftermarket parts and maybe books on Corvettes and information on Corvette clubs, that kind of thing. I've been parts of that. And I don't know that you would need to get me on a phone call. I don't think so. But for other people that want you to take their car to auction, or let me go back and read what you said again. So you're either the high-end auction space. So you generate clients for your take your car to auction. So if there's somebody that wants you to take their car to auction, you want to get them on the phone. And they would say what it is they want to do, and they would make an appointment with you so that you could be in touch with them by phone very, very quickly. So you'd have them on your list, and then you'd have them on the phone, and then you can build that relationship with them. So I would say that would be part of your funnel. But in terms of long term, for most anybody who finds your site and opts in, however you get them to your site, you talked about Facebook ads, and search engine optimization is always good and lasts forever, not when you only are paying for paid advertisement and everything. I think that people that are into cars, they want to know what the latest information, they want to know about safety. They want to know what they can do. Somebody was just telling me the story, and now I can't remember who that was. He was telling me the story of people he knew that fixed up an old Mustang, and they put a roll bar in it, which wasn't typical. And within a few months, there was an accident, and it was like a father and son. And the son, probably in his 20s, I want to say, was in the car alone. The car rolled over multiple times, ended up at the bottom of a canyon. Because he had his GPS on in his phone, they were able to find him pretty quickly. Because of the roll bar, he came away almost unscathed. So truly a blessing from God that they decided to put in the roll bar, even though nobody knew why they wanted to do that at the time. But safety can be a huge, huge concern. Fixing up cars can be huge. Clubs, like I said, there are so many things. So I hope this is helpful to you. And if you have more questions, type them in, because this is exciting to be able to talk about. All right, let's go over now. We're going to talk about the 10,000 hours concept. How quickly can you achieve excellence? So I first heard about this from a fellow, and I have all this here, from a fellow named Malcolm Gladwell and a book he wrote, and I had just been online a year and a half or so when this book came out. It was called Outliers, and he talked about the 10,000-hour rule repeatedly in the book, and it's about deliberate practice. And he said that the key to achieving world-class expertise in any skill is, to a large extent, a matter of practicing the correct way for a total of around 10,000 hours. So as I read that, I thought back to my teaching career. And I thought, in the beginning, that first year, it was really a painful year. I was on emergency credential, which means I was still going to school for my credential when I was given my first classroom of students. It was fifth and sixth grade, a combination grade class, which is difficult right there. And being a new teacher, it was confusing on a daily basis. I was trying to figure out what to do next. I wasn't getting much guidance. And over the next few years, that all changed. It got to the point where I knew exactly what to do. There was really no situation that they could throw at me that would throw me. I knew what to do, and I was able to achieve great things with the kids that I had in my classroom. And I looked back, and I thought it was because I got in my 10,000 hours. So the idea is that if you work 50 weeks a year at a 40-hour-a-week job, that's 2,000 hours. If you do that for 5 years, you'll have in your 10,000 hours. With teaching, because I worked extra hours and did intersessions and summer sessions and this and that, I was able to get my 10,000 hours in probably 3 to 3.5 years, to the point that before I hit my 5-year mark as a teacher, I was being given student teachers to help guide them through their first year of teaching. And I didn't have somebody. I didn't have a student teacher or a mentor during that time. I didn't do student teaching in the classroom in that way. So I tried to be extremely helpful to the people they gave me, and they gave me several people over the next few years to work with. And I think we both, you know, felt that it was an excellent relationship, and a lot of good came from it in terms of helping the kids to learn and have a better learning environment in the classroom. So I want you to think about this 10,000 hours. Now, the idea really comes from a fellow named, let me go back to the beginning here. His name is Dr. K. Anders Ericsson, and he was at, I believe he was at Florida State University, or is it Florida State? I think it was. Doesn't really matter, but he wrote a paper in 1993 saying the role of deliberate practice in the acquisition of expert performance. So this has been very controversial, but I think it's important because when we're doing things on the internet, we expect results overnight. It really isn't possible. And even though 10,000 hours, it isn't an arbitrary number, but it isn't a hard and fast number either, you have to do deliberate practice over some period of time so that you can improve your skills. I know with me, with my writing, I had wanted to write since I was about 12 years old. I did very little writing until I came online 10 years ago at the age of 50. That's when I began writing every single day. Within a few months, I was writing every single day. And now a day does not go by without me doing some type of writing. So at some point, I had the equivalent of my 10,000 hours. And that's why I've been able to write books. I just finished my 12th book. I've contributed to other people's books. People have contributed to books that I've compiled. I write blog posts. I've got more than 2,000 blog posts, 1,800 articles, about 120 short reports. So the writing comes more easily for me because of the experience that I've put into it. So I just want you to think about this idea, and you can Google all of this. Google Anders Ericsson and Outliers. You can see the Wikipedia pages, things like that. But it gives you something to think about in terms of your own progress with your business and how quickly you can achieve excellence. All right, let's go back to questions. We have Cheryl Major here, and she's from thinstronghealthy.com. And Cheryl says, when I do my live presentation, she's going to be doing a live presentation for people in her city on better eating and curing depression through better eating and supplements. And she says, do I have to motivate the attendees to sign up at my website, or may I collect names and emails and put them on a separate list indicating they came from the live presentation? You must get them to opt in or else it's spam. And people can mark on a business card or something that they gave you permission to add their name. But if you add their name, you really can be accused of spamming them later on. So you want to avoid that. And instead, you want them to sign up, and have them sign up very quickly. Tell them to sign up within the next 24 hours and that you're going to give them a special free giveaway. So you're saying, if they need to sign up themselves, do I direct them to an awesome free giveaway report, something like that? Or is there another vehicle I should use? That's exactly how we do it. So anytime that I'm speaking, I'm trying to get people to sign up. If it's a group that doesn't know me, if they already know me, then they're on my list. But I still will mention my site, just in case there's somebody in the audience who's not on my list. But definitely with your group, where probably no one is on your list, you want to say it throughout. So say it at the beginning, say it in the middle, and say it at the end. Remind them to join your list. Many times when I'm at a Rotary meeting or some other type of meeting, I just pull out my phone when the speaker gives their site. I pull up their site and opt in right there so I won't forget. It's a very simple thing to do with a smartphone. And then I'm expecting to get my awesome free giveaway pretty quickly after that. So that is the answer to that question. All right, let's go back to the study guide. And I talk a little bit about time management here and how it becomes a part of your daily routine. So with me, I know I have more energy in the morning. So I always have my list. I use a 5x7 mini legal pad to put everything that I need that I am going to be doing the following day. And I call it a dynamic to-do list. So as I'm doing things, I'm checking them off and drawing a line through them. And at the end of the day, the things I have left go to the top of the next page. And I just fold the page over so that I can be adding to that list over and over and over. So I have several years worth of mini legal pads to work from. And as you think of something, I mean, I thought of something right now earlier on the call, and I just jotted it down here, and now it will be on my list for tomorrow, things that I need to get done. So that's making time management part of your daily routine. You want to have a schedule that focuses on the most important things in your life, and this includes time with family and friends. So the people in your life are very, very important, and you want to spend time with them and make them the rocks. If you know the rocks, pebbles, sand analogy, I think it works extremely well. And, you know, I like the people in my life to be the rocks. The pebbles are my business and also spirituality. You know, are you part of something that's organized, part of something that is not organized? Do you meditate? Do you read? Do you just have quiet time? I like to have quiet time twice a day. I really do, for about 20 minutes or so, where there's no sound, and I'm just sitting quietly in the thinking, not in front of a computer, not with the phone in my hand or anything like that. I find that to help me with productivity quite a bit. All right? So, and the sand is everything else that you do. So I'm going to get a haircut. And color, I do color on my hair and cut. And to me, that's sand. It's something I feel like I have to do, but if I don't do it this week, it won't be the end of the world. So it's not a rock and it's not a pebble. It's sand. So think of those things in your life, how they fit in. Productivity is achieved with practice. The more you do something, the more competent you become. And you want to strive for unconscious competence. So in the beginning, we are unconsciously incompetent. That means we don't even know what we don't know. And you may find yourself in situations like that many times. I was recently with someone that was talking about live streaming and technology, and I wasn't really able to be part of the conversation because there was nothing he was talking about that I was familiar with, even though I thought that I was familiar with live streaming. I thought I knew what that meant. I know that Periscope is live streaming. I know I've been to live events. that have been live streamed. So I know that much, but I didn't know what to ask. I wasn't familiar with the lingo, with the language that was used with that. So I was unconsciously incompetent at that point. Once I realized that I didn't know much, then I was consciously incompetent. The next level is conscious competence. And finally, you want to be unconsciously competent. So without thinking, you can do something. Most of us are that way with driving. We don't remember the details of how we got to the store. I went to the store at 7 this morning, which is very early for me. But I had a big morning, so I needed to be in and out of the grocery store between 7 and 7:30. I don't remember the details. I know I started the car, backed it out of the driveway, and went two different streets to get to the store. But because I've done it for so many years, I've definitely got my 10,000 hours in with that, then it becomes unconscious competence. So that's what we want with everything we do. Accountability to at least one other person is crucial to success. You want someone who's compatible with you. You want to stay in close contact with them. Weekly on the phone should be enough, or else it's a friendship and it's different. In between times, I recommend an email. If you insist on twice a week talking, that's fine, but make it 15, 20 minutes. Make it be about what you are accountable to each other for. If it's anything other than that, it's a friendship, and you both are best off getting a new accountability partner and just calling what you have a friendship. Nothing wrong with that at all. Okay, let's go back to questions. And William says, do people still buy rewritten PLR info products these days? Is it profitable or a waste of time and energy? Okay, these are all great questions. And William, I don't know about rewritten PLR. I buy tons of PLR, and then I gently rewrite it or have someone do that for me. That's always a good use of time and money to have someone else do it, especially if their writing is better than yours. And I have several people whose writing is much better than mine that I'm happy to pay to rewrite private label rights. And then do I sell it? Sometimes as a short report, but I prefer to give away the short reports. I haven't sold short reports per se for a couple of years. I still have some products that are for sale that are reports, but are they any PLR? Maybe I have one on creating books for and selling on Kindle that's rewritten PLR. So yeah, nothing is a waste of time and energy because you can repurpose things over and over and over again. So I'm not sure where your question is coming from if you want to do the rewriting or if you want to create your own info products, but I would say rewrite one, get it up there as a product, and see what happens from that. All right, and Dave is saying, fantastic book. I know he's talking about outliers. Very interesting. And it's always fun when you meet someone who's an outlier. They don't fall within that S curve. And he said, the 10,000 hours rule is for real. Thank you for your insights on your website, on my websites. You are more than welcome, Dave. All right, so William, you know, let me know further what you're going to do with that and give us a link to your site so we can promote it. All right, there's Andrew from the UK. I love to hear from Andrew. And he says, will Blab replace all the different webinar platforms or do they all offer a better alternative for mentors, teachers, et cetera? Blab, you know, I didn't really care for Blab. I've signed up for Blab and wasn't doing my own Blabs, was on the Blab with Joel.com Saturday night, like I said. Not really so impressed with it. I like Periscope. Periscope is easy to do and easy to archive. So if you go to catch with a K, KATCH.me/Connie Green, let me go there and make sure I'm giving you the right place to go. Catch.me/Connie Green, yes. You will see some of the Periscopes that I have archived. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I've got 8 of them archived. And I like having this. This is just connected through Twitter and through Periscope, but Catch is a separate site. The last one there, it's from the airport in Paris, the CDG, the Charles de Gaulle Airport. So I have fun with that. But will they replace webinars? No. So I'll be teaching a course on local business marketing with a colleague, Ron Tester, who's a business owner and online marketer now. And we will be using traditional GoToWebinar platform for those webinars, along with Instant Teleseminar, which I use for the audio. So I don't know that anything, and I even own Webinar Jam, and I'm not so impressed with that either. So I think a lot of things would like to replace traditional webinars, but I don't see it happening. There's Adobe Connect that I've been on quite a few times, and it's all right, but I think we're used to GoToWebinar, and I don't love the company. Their main headquarters are just north of Santa Barbara, where I live half-time. Whenever I meet someone who works there, which is about once every 2 or 3 months, I tell them what I think. I try to be very polite and very tactful, but I tell them that I haven't been happy with the customer service and that I'm really disappointed in how they do things many times. But I will not give up my account that I've had probably 6 or 7 years. I pay them $1,000 a year for that because it works. That's kind of the bottom line. It works. It gives me everything that I need to run my business. All right, so accountability we talked about. Now, there's some resources. I'd love to have you work with me. The best way is to come into my incubator. It's at theonlinemarketingincubator.com. If you want to take a look at my books over on Amazon, go to ConnieReaganGreenBooks.com. I've given you the link to today to the coming podcast surplus, which is Seth Godin's post on this and why he feels that there are just going to be too many podcasts out there, which is why I think study guides are the way to go. Also, a book that I highly recommend by Darren Hardy. He publishes Success Magazine, one of my favorite magazines. It always has a CD every month that I listen to first. It's called The Compound Effect. And also a book that I co-wrote with Jeff Hoff, Time Management Strategies for Entrepreneurs, is there. Here's a quote from Steve Jobs: your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. And I take that to mean, if you're at a job where it's not your dream, maybe it was, teaching was my dream in the beginning, but finally it was other people's dream, it was not mine any longer, and I had to stop wasting my time, because my time is definitely limited. And scientia est potentia, knowledge is power. Implementing this knowledge is forever. So that's what I have to say for today. And let's take a look and see if there are any other questions or comments. Okay, and Ricky's asking about the incubator. Yes, the incubator is my online program. We also meet live twice a year, and that's in Los Angeles. I do it in approximately April and October. Next year, I just did it in October. I may do it in the first week of May, so I don't have a contract right now. It could be the last week of April. I have to see what the hotel has available, but I enjoy spending that time. We also do 2 live webinars a month. We have a Facebook group. We have a membership site, and you have one-on-one calls with me. So I consider it the best program that I have ever done, because I started taking students on and mentoring them in 2007. As soon as I hit 6 figures a year, I felt uniquely qualified to help people and have continued to do that because, yes, I was a classroom teacher, and you can't get the teacher. You can get the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't get the classroom out of the teacher. So in my mind, I'm still thinking that way. All right, so we have gone 34 minutes, and I said it would be between 30 and 45 minutes. I thank you so much for coming. Again, go over to ConnieReaganGreen.com. That's where you can see everything that I'm doing with this, with the podcast that's hosted on that site, with my other blog post. You can find out more about a variety of things that I am involved in. And don't forget to check back regularly for the study guides, which are at ConnieLoves.me/study guides, plural, and that's all lowercase. The last thing I'll mention today is Dennis Becker's Earn 1K a Day Insiders Club. It's a fantastic opportunity. If you are at the live page or the replay, you can click there and see. If not, just email me. Just hit reply to any of my emails, and I will give you the details about that. It really says something when a mentor recommends another mentor for their people to go to, and I only do that with Dennis's program. There is nobody else's program that I recommend in the same way, and I can't imagine that I would in the next couple of years anyway. So I want you to be highly successful, and here's to your online success, your massive online success. Connie Reagan Green with another call in the podcast series. Check out everything I'm doing at ConnieReaganGreen.com. Take care, everyone.
The moderator has left the conference.